1 Samuel chapter 20 tonight. We're also going to be going through Psalms chapter 142. I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel 20 first. That was kind of funny. I realized the other day I'm becoming more of an Alaskan than I was before, obviously. People are complaining about the heat in the grocery store and how hot it is and hot outside, and I started to agree with them. Yeah, it's hot out here. Look at the weather back in North Carolina. It's in the 90s and humidity. 70s is springtime. I was in the store the other day, and a lady asked me, she said, "You have to work outside in this? It's 70 degrees. She was wearing a hoodie. I'm like, "Take your hoodie off." Anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 20 tonight. If you'll stand, if you find your place. 1 Samuel 20, verse number 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness?" It's a rough thing for a father to say to a son. "For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore, now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Verse number 42. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. You can be seated. So David now is on the run from King Saul. Saul has already tried to kill him multiple times, even threw a javelin at him, read it there in verse number 32. Tried to kill him. Thankfully, he missed him. He's seeking his life to kill him. The King Saul wants to kill the next King David, anointed King David. Thanks to Saul's son, Jonathan, David is able to escape. In chapter 1, he goes down, chapter 21, I'm not going to read that for the sake of time. He goes down to the town of Nob to the priest. He gets some bread from him, show bread there in the temple. The only food he can find, he gets the show bread. And he picks up Goliath's sword that David had taken years before and takes it and goes out to use it to have some kind of way to defend himself. I wrote down, I might preach that later on, but life's previous victories will carry you through today's battles. It was a sword he took forever ago in a victory that brought him through this battle here today. That's not what I'm preaching now. He gets over through that, goes to the temple. He gets away from this evil king of Gath. He acts like a crazy man, foaming at the mouth. He says his spit dripped down to his beard. He's acting crazy just to get them to leave him alone. He's trying to get away from them. Then we get down to chapter number 22. It says in chapter 22, verse number 1, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men." So David's done all this so far. He goes, he hides in a cave, and 400 men come to David, and all these that were troubled, and those that were in debt, and they brought all their problems to David. David, the man, is running for his life, hiding. He's a fugitive, hiding for his life, and they bring all their trouble. Said, "David, we need you to be in charge of our trouble." Nice of them. Appreciate that. So David, again, is made ruler of these 400 men. They're in the cave of Adullam. It's believed that during this first cave stay, here at Adullam, there's one more cave in chapter 24, but I believe this cave is where David penned down Psalms 142. Go ahead and turn to Psalms 142 if you would. Thought it was funny, all the men with the debt came to the man. They don't have anything to even buy any bread. Pretty wise on their part. He's still living in a cave. Anyway, don't make much sense. Psalms 142. This is David's heart while he's there hiding in the cave. It says a prayer when he was in the cave. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, and thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I have walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I heard a little devotional from a preacher today, and it got a thought, got in my mind, this complaining versus this pouring out my complaint that David mentions here. And it really hit home for me, and I've had on my mind, I couldn't get off my mind. I went back to study and came right back here to it. I couldn't get away from it. And I believe it's what the Lord would have for us here today. Maybe it's not for you, maybe it's just for me. I don't know. Convicting to me. Anyway, I'm pretty good at complaining. I'm good at it. I hate to admit that, but it's the truth. I have a sneaky feeling a lot of you are probably the same way. Don't say you're not, because I've heard some of you complain before. Most everybody wants what they want. They want to be taken care of. They want what makes them happy. It's human nature. We all complain. Yet here we are. We hear all the time the negative aspect of complaining, how we're not supposed to complain, how we should just be content with what we have, and we hear that over and over again. And those things are true, and they're right. We shouldn't complain. So here we come to Psalms 142, and David says, I poured out my complaint before him. And we stand back and we say, well, now wait a minute, how come we're not supposed to complain? But David here is pouring out his complaint before God, and God allowed it to be written down in the Bible for us to read for out eternity. How come he gets to complain? What's the difference? David's in a rough time, no doubt. He has a reason to be upset and to worry. In our eyes, he has a reason to complain. He's in trouble, yet David is pouring out his complaint to God. What is the difference about how come David gets to pour out his complaint? Why is he complaining? The difference lies, I believe, in the attitude. And that's what I want to try to focus on tonight. So if you've been moaning and complaining, sorry I didn't aim this at you on purpose. Lord, just this morning, convicted me of it first. So he convicted me, so I'm going to give it to you. Lord, I'm going to preach just a few minutes on complaining versus pouring out your complaint. So what is the definition of a complaint? What do we think of when we say the word complaint? What is a complaint? Webster's dictionary says an expression of grief, regret, pain, or resentment, lamentation, murmuring, a finding of fault. It also brings the idea of an accusation, that finding fault, blaming somebody else for what's going on in your life. That's a complaint. When we complain, we often like to blame everybody else for the trouble that we're in. Well, Lord, so-and-so did this, and now I'm in this predicament. We're like Adam. Lord, it's the woman that thou gavest me. She's the problem. Lord, it's your fault, and it's her fault that I'm in this trouble. Complaining, that's what we do all the time. How often do we find ourselves complaining to the Lord, and whether we want to admit it or not, blaming the Lord for what we're in. We're complaining to him. That's what we do when we complain. Blame God. We point our stubby finger at God, whether we mean to or not. Blame him. Finding fault, complaining. Finding fault, giving an accusation. Anybody here have any trouble with that? Anybody ever bring your list of complaints? This is my prayer list. That's your complaint list is what that is. Lord, this is happening. Lord, my kids are doing this. Lord, my wife said this. Lord, my husband, he didn't do this. Lord, it's their fault, and it's their fault, and it's that fault. It's your fault. Lord, my boat did this. How often do we find ourselves complaining to God? Blaming God for everything that may have gone wrong. I don't know about you, but if I'm complaining, I have a bad attitude about it. Complaining never comes with a good attitude. I'm just mad at the world. This wrong. This is wrong. You did this. I'm mad about this. When I'm complaining, I don't want to be happy. I got a bad attitude. I don't want to complain. I want to complain. I don't want to be in a good mood. And you get that too. You all do. Don't act all spiritual. We all get in the same position too. We all complain. So what is David doing here? Why is it okay for David to do this? Obviously, we shouldn't be complaining. We know that. We know we shouldn't be pointing and blaming God. That's obvious. So what is David doing? Now, poured out in verse number 2, the phrase poured out, it means to spill forth like blood or a libation. To our everything you have, to pour it out, push it out. Just to open up, to gush out is what that word means. To pour out, to give it all to the Lord. He poured his heart out to God. That complaint there, the word complaint in Psalms 142, verse 2. Complaint means to ponder, to contemplate, an utterance, a meditation, a prayer. It means just everything that David was thinking, David poured his heart out before God. And we'll look at David's prayer and see what he's talking about. Why is this complaint okay? Number one, we see his tears in verse number 1. I cry unto the Lord with my voice to the Lord that I make my supplication. David says, I just cried unto the Lord. He says, I've gone as far as I can go. I'm literally running for my life. I'm a fugitive. He had to permanently say goodbye to his best friend just to save his own life. He's running from the king in his own home country. It's where he grew up. It's his home. He's saved his country on numerous occasions. He loves his country, yet he's running from the very man in charge of that country, his nation. Saul is so mad because everybody's praising David because of David's victories in battle. David's been anointing the next king. Saul doesn't want it to happen. And David is literally running for his own life. He's a fugitive. He went and had to get some food from the showbread in the temple because he's so poor. He's hiding, don't have anything to eat. He says, Lord, I'm just going to cry out to you. I don't know what else to do. You ever been there before? Just tired, just done. My dad used to say, still does say, he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's the position David found himself in. He's tired of fighting and tired of going on. Any of you moms out there just tired? Tired of doing your best to raise your children, do everything else. And your father's the same way, tired of the work and the stress and the weight of the home on your shoulders. Oftentimes we get tired. David says, I just cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice, unto the Lord did I make my supplication. He says, I just cried out, God, in prayer. I couldn't do anything else. And I just cried out. Often our first step in this situation arise is to complain. David says, instead of complaining, he says, I cried out to God, literally cried to God. We see his tears. We see his trouble. Verse number 2, the first part of verse number 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. The whole verse, sorry. He said, I poured out my complaint before him. I just opened it all up. That libation I mentioned a minute ago, it just means to pour out. Usually, libation history is usually wine in honor of deity, and then with prayer, they pour the whole bottle out. It was practiced by the Hebrews and the Greeks and the Romans, according to Webster's Dictionary. Anyway, took the entire Bible and poured all the contents out in honor of whatever deity they were trying to honor. Completely poured everything he had on his mind. David said, I poured it completely out to God. I poured my heart out to God. It all gushed out. Everything was in me. Gave it to him, told him my problem, told him my troubles. He said, I showed before him my trouble. He didn't beat around the bush. He just told God his troubles. Lord, this is wrong. And Lord, this is wrong. Lord, Saul's trying to kill me here. Lord, Saul's trying to kill me here. And Lord, I don't have any food. And Lord, I had to go get a sword from the temple. Lord, these are my troubles. Why do we try to beat around the bush with God? Just tell God the truth. Tell him the problem. I read this story, I guess, I don't know what you would call it, maybe a poem. But it's entitled, Tell God. Read it to you. Tell God all is in your heart, as one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys that he may sober them. Tell him your longings that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes that he may help to conquer them. Talk to him of your temptations that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself as to others. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You never exhaust the subject. It's continually being renewed. People have no secrets from each other, never want subjects of conversation. They do not weigh their words, for there is nothing to be held back. Neither they seek for something to say. They talk out of the abundance of their heart. Without consideration, just what they think. Blessed are they who attain such familiar, unreserved relationship with God. That's what David's saying here when he says he poured out his complaint. He showed before him his trouble. David said, I just told God everything that was going on. He gave it all to him. Lord, here's my problem. He wasn't complaining. He said, Lord, I'm not complaining. It says the complaint there. He just gave it all to him. He wasn't pointing fingers, wasn't pointing blame. He says, Lord, this is my problem. This is what I need help with. We see his trouble. He just gave it to God. We see his turmoil in verse number 3. First part of verse number 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. He said, Lord, I'm in trouble. My spirit is overwhelmed within me. This is just too much for me is what that means. His turmoil in his own heart. Have you ever been there before? It's just too much for me. You ever been in a situation or a trial and you said, Lord, I can't handle this. It's too much. I can't handle it. You ever been there before? That's what David's saying here. We see his trap in the rest of verse number 3. And thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked have they probably laid a snare for me. He says, they won't leave me alone. They probably means they secretly place traps. Everywhere I go, there's traps. I'm tripping up, getting caught up in sin, getting caught up in temptations and troubles and trials. He says, they tried to trap me. David says, Lord, I'm in turmoil. This is too much for me. And on top of all that, everywhere I turn, I'm constantly being entrapped, getting in more trouble and more trials and getting deeper and deeper in this problem. Satan is constantly bombarding me with trouble and trial and temptation. David says, Lord, they laid a snare for me. I'm entrapped. He talks about the trap. He talks about his troops, verse number 4, or lack of troops. He says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. David's here in this cave. If it's the same cave of Adullam, then he has 400 men with him. Maybe he wrote this before they came. Maybe not. Maybe he's so blinded by the trouble around him, he thought he was the only one. Elijah did the same thing. Talked about that this morning. You ever done that before? You ever feel alone? You ever go through a trial and just feel you're tired, you're exhausted, you're in turmoil, like David was? There are traps all everywhere you go. Feel like it's getting worse. Traps all around you. You just feel alone. You look on your right hand, David says, you don't see anyone that would know you. They don't understand what I'm going through. How many have said that before? They just wouldn't understand. He says, refuge failed me. He said, no man cared for my soul. David, the man who was heralded for his valor in battle by the people. 400 men came to see him. He says, nobody cares for my soul. He says, nobody likes me. Nobody wants me. Nobody cares if I'm living or if I'm dead. We see his tears. We see his trouble. We see his turmoil. We see his trap. We see his troops or his what he thinks is lack of troops. And David says, I'm just alone. He said, I feel alone. I'm in trouble. Can't handle on my own. They don't understand. They wouldn't understand. Lord, I'm in trouble. And we see, lastly, we see his trust. Verse number 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He says, Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He says, if all else fails, Lord, you won't fail me. Lord, you're my refuge. He closes it out with, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Lord, you've done it before. Lord, you can do it again. You've saved me before. You can do it again. Anyone here going through a trial or trouble or a heartache, can I remind you where your trust ought to be tonight? The Lord has brought you this far. He's not going to fail you now. David said it worked before. He'll do it again. If the Lord can handle Calvary and rise again, don't you think he can handle our little problems today? Everything's little compared to Calvary. Despite David's tears and his trouble and his turmoil and his traps and his troops, he still trusted in God. He said, you're my refuge. I ask you tonight, are you busy complaining today? Can I challenge you? And quit complaining. To pour it out to God. He poured out his complaint to God. Notice David's pouring out of his complaint. He didn't give the blame to anybody. That's the difference. He just told God what the problem was. David didn't have a bad attitude. He said, Lord, I need help, and I'm going to trust you to help me. I'm going to trust you to do it. Quit complaining about everything that's going wrong or has gone wrong. Don't complain through your trial. Just take it to him. Pour it out to him. Just give it to him. He's in control anyway. What's the difference between our complaining and David's pouring out his complaint? David says, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Lord, I'm not blaming you. Lord, I just need some help. He begs God, he cries to the Lord for his help. He says, Lord, I trust you. Lord, you can handle it. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Lord, you're in control. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, I pray for this simple thought. And Lord, help us tonight. Encourage us. Lord, help us not to complain. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.